Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Get it, man. Had to let that OPP come through. Naughty by Nature, Jersey. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. My calls have dropped off because it's that time of the night where people decide to go to bed or they fall asleep, and that's okay with me. I have some runway here. Eventually, I'm going to get to Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter and the draft stuff, but I'm trying to put a cap on Major League Baseball for the night. So, in the out-of-town scoreboard we go, looking across Major League Baseball, as hot as the Padres have been, winning all their games at home, I think they're on a five-game win streak. Baseball will humble you. That had to end. The Cubs are able to defeat the Padres in 10 innings. You know, Manfred's man on second gets it done. You never see games go past like 11 or 12 innings. Man, shout out to the Padres, though. Like, their fan base, as I'm talking about the Yankees, what they're pulling, the Padres are right there. They're not going to rival the Dodgers, but they're putting 40, 42,000 people in there every night in Petco Park. They're excited about the team, and those guys are performing. Manny Machado homer tonight. It just wasn't enough to hold. So they get beat by the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs, I think, are pretty good, too. They're 12-8. They're first in the NL Central. So, like, that's a battle. You know, the Cubs got some guys. The Cubs, quietly, over the last few off seasons, have added to that team. Go, Cubs, go. I got to go to Chicago. That's something. Shout out to my boy Mike and the homies in Chicago. It's been a while. I got to book a trip to Chicago and go to Wrigley and, you know, just go see a random team play. But anyway, the Cubs beat the Padres 2-1 in 10 innings. The Rangers are 10-7. They beat the Angels tonight 4-0. They go out there and make quick work of Yusei Kikuchi. As I was talking about Kid Cudi, I used to call Kikuchi. I'm like, yeah, Kid Cudi. You say Kid Cudi. You say Kikuchi. Anyway, the Rangers score 4 runs and knock down their division rivals, the Angels. The Cardinals out west, or the Astros out west, go to St. Louis and face the Cardinals. They beat them 2-0. The Brewers blank the Tigers 5-0. Jack Flaherty takes the L. The White Sox just going to rack up the L's. The Athletics go to the South Side, beat them 12-3. I already told you, Tyler Soderstrom. This guy's got 8 homers to lead all of Major League Baseball. He came into the day tied with Judge at 6. And by the end of the game, he's got a clear lead. Judge has to homer twice tomorrow. Soderstrom with 6 RBI. I got to start betting on that guy. I got to start putting him in some of the parlays. The Red Sox down there at George M. Steinbrenner Field beat the Rays 7-4. I saw a video of, I guess, the sound system. Something was going on. There was a ringing, just a ringing sound that was coming out that they had to stop the game. The sound system at George Steinbrenner Field, it just had a prolonged ringing noise. I saw my guys at Foul Territory put that out. It caused a delay in the game. They didn't know what was going on down there. That's where the Yankees head next. And I hope that they make quick work of the Tampa Bay Rays. You can't have these guys in your building, paying to be in your building, scoring a bunch of runs in your building. You can't lose to them. You got to go down there and take that first series. So, yeah, the Red Sox beat the Rays 7-4. The Blue Jays beat the Braves 6-3. The Orioles lose to the Guardians 6-3 as well. Emmanuel Clase gets the save, but there's been some chatter about Clase as everybody wants to jump on Edwin Diaz, as everyone wants to jump on Devin Williams. It is early in the season. Some people will tell you Emmanuel Clase is the best reliever in baseball. He had a little rough go at it where they're saying, oh, he can't be the guy. Well, he was the guy tonight. He returns to form. 888-808-1019 as we close these games out. The Phillies beat the Giants 6-4. Justin Verlander, old man Verlander, takes the loss. Verlander gives up 8 hits, 4 runs. JT Realmuto goes deep off him. Bryce Harper goes deep. And the Phillies are 10-7, second place in the NL East behind the New York Mets. The San Francisco Giants are also in second place in the NL West behind the Padres. Let's see, the Diamondbacks put 10 up on the Marlins. And I think I was looking at that earlier. I was talking about Corbin Carroll. 5 RBI night for Corbin Carroll. I think he had a grandy. Didn't he hit a grand slam? Corbin Carroll balling for the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a good team. I think Yankee fans are going to realize that, you know, that series that we lost, like they're gonna be in the mix. They're pretty solid. The Reds beat the Mariners 8-4. The Nationals blank the Pirates 3-0.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You already know what happened with the Mets and the Yankees. The Yankees beat the Royals 4-2. Great game. Love how it played out. Coming back, backing up Max Fried and Jason Dominguez and Judge getting his singles, and then Luke Weaver to Devin Williams, just how you drew it up. And the Mets lost to the Twins 6-3. They were able to come back and tie the game, but ultimately did not have enough through those middle innings and come up short, looking to take the series with the rubber match coming up today. Thomas is in center reach. What's up, Thomas? You're live on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, I'm back. I haven't talked to you. I looked because I have all the recordings on Odyssey, when I talk. I haven't talked to you since the 7th of December. I haven't talked to you since before Soto. like signed, which is wild.
I'm guessing you're focusing on school. You're locked in on your studies.
Yeah, oh yeah, I gotta lock in. I've been locked in. Yeah, but so I'm real quick. By the way, fun fact, just straight up baseball fun fact, the Rays have not won, like yesterday, on April 15th in the past 16 years. Fun little fun fact I figured I'd drop in.
Wait, say that again?
I just saw that. They have not won on April 15th in the past 16 years.
Oh, they have not won on this date. So they're yeah. scheduled loss today. Go ahead and bet the Rays to lose against the Red Sox.
Yesterday against the Red Sox. Yesterday. When they lost. That's their 16th straight loss
on Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah. So I was real quick looking to talk about the Mets and Lindor tonight. It's just real frustrating, you know. It's been every year. I don't remember. I think maybe 2022 he was struggling too, but I feel like it's been every year as a Met. Maybe it's every year of his career. I haven't looked at his Cleveland numbers. He just struggles in the beginning of the season, and then he gets into his groove, and it's like really, it's just wild to me that it's just like it's been consistent that he just isn't good at the beginning of the season, and honestly, also another thing, Pete Alonso, I'm never been happier I'm so happy about the contract. Oh my gosh, he's playing so well, and to get him on a deal where he was like, oh, I want this much, and then he realized that no one was going to give him this much, so he came back to the Mets, and now we've got him on like the deal, a much smaller deal. It just feels so nice. It's always nice when you get signed a guy with a small contract, regardless of how good they've been in the past, and they are just really amazing. Honestly, he might cool down, but even if he doesn't, he's battling around like still, I think, the 300s. I think he'll probably obviously cool down, but this is awesome. And I know he's playing for a contract, so he had another one. So it's beautiful to see as a Mets fan.
He deserves it, man. I was always kind of in his corner when he struggled last year. I'm like, you know, not everybody has the Aaron Judge prove it year, bet on yourself and come through. But I'm glad that it happened for Pete, that Mets fans were very vocal about his importance to them and this team. And there was nowhere else he was going. They paid him and they gave him the money. And I think he just like was able to just let go of some of that. And what I always used to say about Pete was like, this guy has watched so many guys come in and cash out, and he's the guy. It's his team. He's the face of the franchise. He's the man. But he's watched all these other guys come in and get rich off of the new rich owner. And it's like, where's my money? Even when Pete was starting and going to the home run derby and making more money than he was making. And like, even the service time manipulation and all that type of stuff. It's like, now he's finally reached the point where he's touching paper. And the way that he's playing, it's like, I don't know, he's obviously going to opt out. And I mean, if he keeps it up, right? Vladdy is off the market. He's going to be one of the top free agents. He wasn't one of the top free agents this offseason, but if it's him and Kyle Tucker, I mean, there's rumblings about Kyle Tucker maybe getting an extension. Like, if Pete Alonso puts up an all-star year, there's going to be a lot of suitors for him. And Mets fans shouldn't worry about that, because you have the richest owner who can match any contract. And Pete does have loyalty to the Mets fans, where he's going to want to come back. He's been vocal about wanting to be a Met and finishing his career here and all that type of stuff. So I think that does give you an upper hand, but you got to pay the man.
Yeah, 100%, 110%. They have to pay him, especially since he's proved, even though it lasted, or 2 years, 2022, when they made the playoffs, it was a short series. He proved that he could have played. He played well in that Padres series, and he played well last year in these playoffs. He has proved he's a consistently really good playoff performer for the team in the two seasons that he's been here, and we've been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He has been consistently good.
Why it's crazy to hear people saying he wasn't clutch in the regular season last year. I'm like, it's a regular season. He was clutch
playoffs
when you needed
him. Playoffs is a whole other monster.
And you know what this year is going to also be about? And we haven't really talked much about it, because, like, okay, he homered today. He's another step closer to catching David Wright and then taking down Darryl Strawberry as the all-time leader in homers. He's at 231, so he's 11 away and 21 away. Yeah, it's 242 and 252.
240.
So,
Yeah, 252. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a party. That's going to be a celebration when he does that.
100%. And I think tomorrow, I don't know if this is 100% confirmed, but I've seen a bunch of Met reports for, I think they said Jose Urena is going to start tomorrow, I think. Potentially, they might call him up or something. He's in AAA right now, I think. He might start tomorrow. And obviously, Griffin Cannon getting sick really screws it. Like, they were going to do a six-man rotation, but now, like, that screws up what they were going to do with that. I don't.
Fleegs and I were just talking about it. It's Justin Hagenman who will be active for the series finale tomorrow. And it's TBD if he'll start or if the Mets will use an opener, but...
Yeah, I think they should wait on. I really think we should wait till at least maybe. I don't know who's scheduled to come back first, Montas or Manaea. I feel like they gotta wait. In my opinion, I think they should wait until one of them come back to do a six-man rotation. Because yes, they've been playing well, but you know you still have that risk of this is obviously. I don't think. I hope it's sustainable, but this just looked. These guys are. Middle of the pack guys that obviously McGill tonight, he pitched okay, but McGill's whole thing in his whole career has been he's never been consistent. That is his one thing. He has never been consistent in his whole career. He's been good, then he's been terrible, then he's been like fine. He's never, and that's why I'm also a little concerned. It's like there's guys like, don't get me wrong, Griffin Canning, he's been pitching decent, but last year on the Angels, he was terrible. He was so bad. Like, you know, and his whole career, he really hasn't been amazing. So, you know, it's obviously, I'm hoping this stays, the starting rotation, especially stay like this. And even if it doesn't, the bullpen has this, honestly, the bullpen really staying this consistent for a while. Like, it's been really good. Reed Garrett, I think, is still at a zero ERA. And I think Stanek is too. You know, those guys were huge pieces on the team last year. And to see them come into the season this year and still be successful, especially Stanek. Being a guy who was acquired at the trade deadline last year, to only have to see half of his season. Now he's here in the for a whole year, and he's pitching this well. Same thing with Reed Garrett. Reed Garrett was on the opening day. Yeah, I don't know if he was on the opening day roster. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, like these guys that you need to still be consistent from last year's team, plus the guys like Kranick, who obviously he gives the home run, but like he's still been really good. Brozabon. I thought Brozabon was younger. Brozabon's like 30 something. I didn't even know. I think he's like 35. I actually didn't know that till the other day. I was like, wow, for a guy who's like probably in a couple of years, he probably might not be in the league. He's pitching really well. So he's keeping his career alive this season by pitching this well for the Mets.
That pitching lab, Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab, getting the most out of these guys. The bullpen has been quite opposite from what it was to start the year last year, and that was an emphasis. And you hear all the time, you hear it on The Fan, David Stearns, how he builds a bullpen, and Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab. I mean, Brazoban was a Marlin for years. Let's see, I don't know how many years, but like, what's you said he was 31? So he was.
He's like 30. No, he's even older. I think he's like 34, 35, I think.
Yeah, age 35.
Yeah, which is
born 89.
I thought he was younger.
He pitched for the Marlins in 2022, 2023, 2024.
Yeah, he's been really like that. Yeah, he's been, yeah, it's crazy for me. Like, it's crazy to me that he's like, so he's keeping his career alive by pitching amazing right now. Also, thing about the Yankees is I haven't really watching a lot of games. When I started watching baseball and like watching like minor league guys and stuff, I fell in love with Oswaldo Cabrera. I'm also like really happy that they're like moving everybody around and stuff, and he comes on, gets playing time. Also, do like Peraza. I love the Yankees. It's crazy. It's kind of weird. I like love watching so many players on teams that the Mets should not like. Like some Mets fans shouldn't like. Like I love watching Jazz Chisholm. I like Paul Goldschmidt. I like Cody Bellinger. I like Peraza. I like Cabrera. I like Jason Mingus. I like Ronald Acuna. Like, there's like Bryce Harper.
You like baseball. Like,
yeah, I just love it. And even though those guys play for teams who I'm supposed to hate, you know, it's so hard to hate those guys. Like, I love Jazz, and he's still on the Marlins. And I'm like, the Marlins kill the Mets. Even the Marlins could try out their AAA lineup, and they could still probably win a game against the Mets. It's in historically. Whoever the Marlins have, they still somehow find a way to beat the Mets. They've already
because it's baseball. These guys are going to go out there and swing the bat and catch the ball and throw the ball, and it's going to bounce different ways, and they're going to compete. But, you know, on paper, we make so much of what these teams are, and then we watch these games, and no baseball team goes 162-0.
No.
Don't let people online try and do that to me. I just was watching the end of the Mets game in here, and I'm like, man, I thought Lindor was about to do it right there. And someone's like, are you a Yankee fan or a Mets fan? I'm like, I think it's pretty clear what team I'm a fan of.
It doesn't matter who you're a fan of
but
for that.
I'm watching the game, and I'm about to talk. Am I not allowed to do that?
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, like if I put on the Dodger game, it's over now. But if I put on the Dodger game and I was like, oh, they had bases loaded, I think, for Tommy Edmund earlier in the day, and he didn't get a hit. So if I tweet out right now, oh, Tommy Edmund, I thought he was going to hit a grand slam. I can say that. I thought he was going to do it. He's actually 4-for-4 or 4-for-5 in the game tonight. I was watching that because I had to have MLB at bat. I was just watching through everything. I think he was 4-for-5. He had a pretty good game.
He's bowling. Like, he's carrying them low-key.
Yeah, he's so good. He's like, he killed us. He was good the whole play.
And it's that's like, it always goes back to the Dodgers leaving no stone unturned and always adding talent. They got him at the trade deadline. He's the NLCS MVP. And now early on in the season, he's their early season MVP.
He was batting 199. He was batting 199 before he got traded.
With the Cardinals.
And then he came to the Dodgers and he ended up winning, you know, bang 300 in the playoffs, winning almost 400.
That's another thing I was saying about Arenado and Goldschmidt, bro. I'm like, yeah, they were having down years with the St. Louis Cardinals in Missouri. Look at what Goldschmidt has been with the Yankees so far. Does he look done?
He's been good.
Yeah, he's been great. No. He's not done.
He
looked like
he looked like he got at least 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years left. He looked like he can still go.
I'm already running back. He got a 1 year deal. If he wants a 2 year deal next year, then if we got to give him a year and an option, sure.
Cardinals organization, man, is just a mess, bro. They really banked on Albert Pujols and all of them for that year. And then they just, they've been bad the past two. They were so bad last year. They were bad. And, they really banked in 2022. They banked on Albert Pujols, and I think it was, they banked on that, those for them. And then, you know, Pujols, obviously, he's not going to play. He didn't play. And they just fell out. They got Goldie, but then, you know, they really had nothing. They had Goldie still in there or not, but man, that shows you how good Albert Pujols was in that last season. And then now that they lost, and then they lost him, and they've just not recovered. And now they're losing guys. Arenado's next. I don't know. Maybe Arenado don't get traded. Honestly, the contract might just ride out. I don't know how much he's got left on that deal. But
I think he's got another 2 more years after this one. They need to just go ahead and trade him for the Yankees and completely start the rebuild.
Yeah.
Thomas, you're the man, bro. I know you were counting the days last got on the fan, so I wanted to give you some time. Yeah, I haven't talked to you.
Thanks.
But hopefully school is going well.
Yeah, I got break right now, so I'm probably calling even whenever. I'm just going to be calling it most of this week.
The Dolphins trading Jalen Ramsey coming up?
Oh, bro. Not Tyreek, though. I don't know what we're doing. not Tyreek,
though. Thanks for the call. I knew what to say to you because I know what teams you root for. Not Tyreek. I haven't even mentioned the Tyreek Hill drama because what did I call him? I called him the Miami Menace on air way before all this. And now look at what Tyreek Hill has gotten himself into. 888-808-1019. I wasn't even paying attention to the NBA. I watched the Devils game tonight while I was watching the Yankees and keeping tabs on the Mets. But, the NBA play-in did start, and it did feature one of the greatest basketball players ever in Steph Curry. The Warriors defeat the Memphis Grizzlies 121-116. And so I'm looking at this box score right now. They get John Morant right up out of there. John Morant's going to be in his house throwing air grenades, covering his ears, doing the gritty, playing with toy guns. Let me stop. They get Desmond Bane up out of here. I had a call randomly one night about the Knicks trading for Desmond Bane. I'm like, why would that be the – maybe. I don't know. maybe. But yeah, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy. 38 points from Jimmy Butler. Here he is, folks. That's why they went to get him. Steph Curry drops 37. Draymond drops a mean 4. But the Warriors, welcome to the Warriors Invitational. Are the Warriors about to get hot? Are the Warriors about to make a run? 888-808-1019. I just don't care about the play. I don't even think there should be a play-in, bro. But I get it. Gives, you know, more teams an opportunity and a chance. And when you look at these games tonight, the Orlando Magic won. So both seven seeds win and will advance. And tomorrow, well, it's now tomorrow, you'll get the 9-10 matchups, the Bulls versus the Heat, and then later on the Kings versus the Mavericks. And the way that it's set up is obviously, right, the seven seeds win, they're in. Now we'll wait and see what happens with these 9-10 seeds. You lose that game, you're gone. If you advance, you get to play the 8 seed that lost, and then they play their way in for that last spot. But Golden State clinches the 7 seed. Orlando clinches the 7 seed in the East. Trae Young, happy trails. Go roll some dice at home. And just go ahead and shave your head, buddy. Just go ahead and commit. Just go to the Baldy many before you have. So I'm looking at this box score now. Cole Anthony drops 26 for the Orlando Magic. Paolo Banchero with 17. Wendell Carter Jr., 19. Franz Wagner, 13. Anthony Black, 16. They got a scrappy young little team. Let's see what they turn into. Let's see what they end up doing. 888-808-1019 as calls are coming in on the draft, on the Yankees, on the Mets. We're going to take a break here. It's 1:30. And when we come back, I will answer your calls on the draft, on the Yankees, on the Mets, and maybe somebody wants to weigh in on the NBA play-in tournament and what's coming up for the Knicks. But I think the Knicks don't play till Saturday. All next week is going to be heavy Knicks conversation. All next week is going to be Pistons-Knicks. And I'm ready. I'm ready for the NBA playoffs to really start. Those are always fun games. And then the Stanley Cup playoffs, too, in the mix with the draft and with Major League Baseball actually starting to heat up. So it's the most wonderful time. The sports equinox is upon us. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls for the next 24 minutes. So let's take this break so we can get back to it. BRB.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, well, my last stretch here. Last call for calls. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for rocking with me. Thanks for listening. Man, we got almost 1,400 people watching live right now. Most of them from Twitter. A handful of them from my YouTube channel. And one lone person on Twitch. I got to build up the Twitch account. But I don't play video games and I'm not going to start playing video games, so I completely missed the boat on that. All these kids that are like IShowSpeed and Kai Cenat, and I don't know, these kids all blew up from like starting their Twitch channels playing video games when they were in school, when they were like middle school kids. I saw this clip the other day and it had all of these kids when they like first got started with their YouTube channels and their Twitches. And I'm telling you, man, between LinkedIn and me having my email public, I get messages all the time from young guys looking for advice on like how to make it in the industry or, you know, how to just be seen or heard. And I'm like, bro, start your channels, build your own channel. What are you doing? I'm like, we didn't have this when I was a kid, and we did have YouTube, but like we weren't thinking to build out our own like name, image, likeness, brand, like do things on it. Build your own stuff. Like so many kids now are like, yo, how do I make it into the radio, or how do I get on ESPN, or how do I get on Fox? I'm like, make a YouTube channel, make a Twitch channel, talking sports. And if you're good enough, traditional media will look to the new media and social media to pull you out and put on TV and put on the radio. Why not like start building your own? And even if you don't actually make it to the radio and the television, build your own. All of this stuff is monetized now. Like I said, I got $60 off of trolling people and talking baseball the last month off Elon. I wish I did it sooner. What made me do it was during the run to the World Series, me going to all those games and posting and talking baseball all the time. Twitter was literally showing me, like, you have 3 million impressions. You have 4 million impressions. And it clicked to me talking to someone there, like, you have that many impressions, you're not monetizing your Twitter yet. I'm like, I don't want to pay for Twitter. They're like, dummy, it pays for itself. I'm like, of course it does. It's not about that. And like, I have a blue check mark, but I got the blue check mark. I got verified in 2022 before you could buy it. So now that I have the verified check mark that I paid for, I didn't pay for it. It paid for itself. Anyway, there's my quick rant. If you're listening and you're like, man, I want to be on the radio one day, start your own channel on YouTube. And like try to, I don't know, host your own radio show and talk and build your own stuff. And maybe if you're good enough, they'll come find you. Shout out to Al Cintron coming up. From what I know, Al was just on Twitter throwing out his takes. Al was just on Twitter doing some videos and stuff like that. And I guess he sent some stuff through to Spike Eskin, who, you know, used to be here. And next thing you know, he got an opportunity and he's been running through for years now. Like, that's a shot in the dark. Shout out. That's why I always try to like big up Al and put Al on, because it's hard to do that. Like, even me, right? Like, I was with John Boy and those guys, and John Boy and those guys came in here, and that's what led Spike to me. And when Spike saw my existing Twitter following, Instagram following, some motion online, I think it certainly helped. And then also having a radio and television degree in my back pocket, that helped as well. But it is hard to crack into radio, television, especially in this market. Market one, the most competitive, the most populated, the most listened to market. It's impossible. I thought it was impossible for years. It took me 11 years after graduating to actually get on. And build your own stuff, kids. Start practicing and at least getting reps, because like, even if you don't get seen right away, you're practicing in the dark. You're sharpening your sword when no one can see you. You know, like when you do actually enter battle, at least you have reps. Like, you need to practice just saying your name. I tell people that all the time. There's so many people that can't even just say their first name. I mean, I got to say that every time I go to break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. It's got to be like that. So there's my little sidebar on some things that are not sports. But in the sports world, let's go to the phones. Actually, I did want to note that, like, as I mentioned, the Warriors clinching the 7 seed, they will obviously face the number 2 seed Houston Rockets, a young team. I think that's going to be a great matchup. I think they can definitely beat the Rockets. And then the Magic will face the Celtics, and the Celtics might sweep them, honestly. So looking forward to that and looking forward to the NFL draft. The only things I had to add about the NFL draft, you know, the Giants are getting this like closer look at Shador Sanders, and there's a part of me that feels like they just want to draft him. They might not want to draft him at 3 necessarily, but they want to draft him. And if he falls, they might have, you know, they might have something that they could do. And Travis Hunter now has come out to say, you know, he's so stuck on the idea of playing both ways. And like, he basically says he doesn't want to go to a team that doesn't want to let him play both ways. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, Bleacher Report came out with a report yesterday that said Travis Hunter says he's never playing football again if he can't play wide receiver and cornerback in the NFL. It's never playing football again because I've been doing it my whole life. I feel like I could dominate on each side of the ball. But what if you can't? Or what if it's not wise for you or the team to do that? He's stuck on it. That, like, to honestly, if I'm not prepared for him to do that, I'm not drafting him, because I don't want to go back and forth with you on it, bro. This is the NFL. This is the best of the best. So that, you know, that's all I was going to add on that front. Let's see what Jason out in Brooklyn wants to add or ask about the NFL draft coming up.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Mac. Yeah, about the draft. And Sanders, I think he's just a product of Hunter. So if I was the Giants, I wouldn't draft him.
I think he's scary, like at three, there's so many talented players that could impact the team. I understand the value of a quarterback, but I also understand that a lot of these quarterbacks lame out. Like, what are the Colts saying right now about taking Anthony Richardson at four or wherever they took him a couple years ago?
Yeah, that was a bad thing. He should have stayed in two more years in college. You know, to me, he's going to be a bust. But on the draft, I heard coming out of Dallas, I heard a rumor because, you know, this Monday they opened up a conversation with Parsons about his contract extension. There's a rumor that if that's not done before the draft, that Dallas is willing to flip with New England at four, sending Micah Parsons to the New England Patriots because they're trying to build their defense. If you notice, it's been spending a lot of money on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they will flip. They will flip with Dallas, and Dallas will get the fourth pick, the 38, the 144, and next year's 2026 number one and a third for Micah Parsons.
And I mean, it sounds like a good haul, but Micah Parsons wants to be a Dallas Cowboy, and Jerry Jones wants him to be a Dallas Cowboy. And there were also reports about Micah Parsons reporting to the offseason program.
And but he's just doing that because they want him to be more of a leader.
Sure, he's in contract talks.
The last 2 years, he never did that. Yeah, he never did that. And also, another rumor coming out of Dallas is Breece Hall to the Cowboys for a third and a fifth from the Jets.
Breece Hall to the Cowboys.
A third round and a fifth round?
I would punch that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I would do that for Breece Hall. I would do that.
Yeah. And then that'll force the Giants' hand at three to take Sanders. Because then I could see, you know, senile Jerry Jones taking Sanders and then put him behind Dak and after 2 years move off Dak.
No, they got Joe Millen. They just made the move for Joe Millen.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones is like, it's like senile.
I think they're starting to push Jerry Jones. I don't think Jerry Jones was the one that made the move for Milton with the Patriots. And I don't know if they're going to go back to the well trading with the Patriots for Micah. I'm sure they might have discussed it, and that's where the rumor came from. I think Micah stays and gets paid, and Jerry might pay him on draft day because Jerry is all about stealing headlines and doing things and striking when the NFL world is paying attention. That's why he paid Dak on week one, and
They're looking at $260 million for 5 years, so $41 million a year.
That's their own fault. Like, they let it get there. They let Max Crosby be signed. They let Myles Garrett be signed. They drag their feet. They have the money.
Well,
they're the richest franchise.
Very smart and calculated. He's very smart and calculated. When Josh Allen and the Jaguars, he's a linebacker. So he put himself as a linebacker. So he got like $24 million per year. So what Parsons did, he goes, oh, I'm a pass rusher. Pass rushers make more money. So that's what he did. So he's labeled as a pass rusher. He doesn't put himself as a linebacker.
And that's why I mentioned Max Crosby and Myles Garrett. Those are guys coming off the edge. I know that the Cowboys have moved Micah Parsons around, but he's going to get paid like an edge rusher. He's a defensive weapon. I think they pay Micah Parsons. I think that they draft a wide receiver at 12. I don't think that
Arizona State?
If it's Teteroa McMillan, I would absolutely love that. I was saying a while ago the Jets should get this kid. I think he's, like, for what the Cowboys offense is going to have, he is a great contrast to CeeDee Lamb.
They got a fixed offensive line, so I could see them taking the guy from Missouri. Because they got to replace the whole up.
I don't know if Membu is going to be there at 12. If he is, then yeah, that's a done deal.
If they make that trade, they'll be able to get him and a running back and a wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think they're crafty enough. I think Stephen Jones is kind of taking the wheel a little bit more, and Jerry's falling back because Jerry's a clown and he's embarrassed himself with his comments and his moves. And I really don't think that he was the one behind this Joe Milton deal. I think Stephen Jones was kind of, you know, dealing with that. And I don't think Stephen is crafty enough to make a draft day trade of this magnitude. It sounds good in like rumors, but we got to think about who the guys actually executing it are, and I don't think that they're skilled enough to pull that off.
Well, you know, Jerry Jones is just nuts. He's just about the brand. As long as he makes his money, he don't care. As long as the Cowboys are $13 billion, you know, he doesn't really care about anything.
Yeah, he's 82 going on 83 later this year. I'm just hoping that they are starting to put him in the rocking chair, wheelchair, push him into the back. You know, like
they do with horses. They need to take him outside on the barn, you know?
Thanks for the call, Jason. Can't say that. Can we say stuff like that? This is Jerry Jones we're talking about. He's a billionaire. He's not going quietly into the night. But I do think that, like, I mean, come on. I've gone over Jerry Jones' mistakes a ton. I do think that, like, the Dallas Cowboys have gotten to a point now where they're like, okay, Jerry, like, we got to win. The Eagles got back to another Super Bowl and won one. And they're not going anywhere. Like, I saw Emmett Smith coming out and talking crap about the Eagles because he's still living in his day. Emmett Smith's quote was, now all of a sudden they win two Super Bowls. Well, they have two Super Bowl wins total, but the battery is in their back because they've gone to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. But now all of a sudden they win two Super Bowls and they think they're the best thing on the planet. And everywhere I go, I hear, go Birds. I'm sick of hearing go Birds. I'm always asking, where are you going? You still got a long way to go to get to the Cowboys. How about them? How about them Cowboys? Trash. Tony's in Montreal. My last call of the night. Tony, you got it.
How you doing, Keith? I was listening to your projection, how you got to the show, and you're right. New York is the show, and you got to be confident, and you got to know who you are to be on the radio or in the media, and that's why
100%.
I love talking to you because you're fair to everybody. You give everybody a shot. So let's say it's Timber Tony from Montreal. How's that?
Timber Tony, is that what they called you when you played? Where'd that come from?
That's just a little bit of a click on my dad, myself, and our business. Out in the country, we take down forests where I am. One of my companies do that. So
nice.
So we take down the lumber. When I was up in Maine, I loved Maine, and then when we came up north to Canada, up in Cornwall, Ontario, I do a lot of work in that. Similarly, when I go on X, it's Timber Tony Tells the Truth. So that's basically who I am on X.
I don't think I've ever seen you on there. I have to look for you now. I always get a ton of messages and replies. And honestly, I chuck and duck. Most of these tweets, people don't even realize. I mute the conversation after a while.
I love being opinionated, but I try to respect everybody. I may not make everybody happy, but at least I'm truthful to myself. That's why it's Timber Tony Tells the Truth, as far as I'm concerned, but that's not always the truth according to other people. But I just want to say one thing. You know, when we talked about superstar athletes, Judge and Clemente the other day, I like the unsung heroes. Like I love Joe Frazier because Joe Frazier, nobody supported him. He was out of the dregs of Philadelphia. And, you know, when he was an athlete fighting Muhammad, you know, everyone thought Muhammad hated him. And, you know, it was promotions, and it was like make the fights bigger than they were. And then when the sad thing is when Joe Frazier died, you know, one of the guys that came through for him was Muhammad Ali, paid for his funeral. Not a lot of people know that. They thought that Muhammad hated Joe Frazier. I like the unsung heroes. I like the athletes that respect their sports. And I'm just going to say this about Alonso. I'm not saying he's in the class of these great athletes, but he has class. He kept his mouth shut, Keith.
Yeah.
When everybody was mocking him and saying he wasn't worth the money, he just kept his mouth closed.
A ton of respect for the guy. Like,
and now,
a pro's
and now
pro.
He's projected now, what, 50, 53 home runs, 192 RBI. I know it's like fantasy league kind of stuff, but if he keeps up the way he is, he's going to come through with a major league shocking season, and he's leading the team right now. And, you know, the Lindors and the Sotos are looking over their shoulder and saying the polar bear, 6'3", 245, is a guy that can swing the bat. And, you know, he's 30 years old. He's probably a guy that can play for a couple of years, I'd say 5 years, 5 or 6 more years. And I think he's got to get paid. I think that if you love baseball and you want competition between both teams in New York, he's got to get paid by the Mets. If they don't pay him, then someone else will.
Yeah, he's going to get his 5-year contract, and somebody's going to up the ante, and Steve Cohen can match it, but I think everything happens for a reason. That guy deserves the bounce-back year he's having. He's handled everything professionally. I wish him the best. I haven't had a bad word to say about Pete Alonso. Thanks for the call, Tony. 888-808-1019. Line up the calls now for Al Cintron coming your way next. That's all I've got. I'll be back tomorrow. After the Mets play, after the Yankees play, we'll do this again after the Yankee postgame. So, yeah, shout out to everybody watching online. We had like 1,400 people in the live. Appreciate everybody with their thoughts there. Everybody calling, everybody listening. Have a good night and keep it locked right here. KM to AL. Peace.